necessarily those of its staff or management. Responsible parties with opposing views may be provided time to air those views. For more information, write to the Public Affairs Director at KFJC 12345 El Monte Road, Los Altos Hills, California.
Just a great display of our power. We are the people. We are the 99%. And if we decide that we're going to shut down business, we can shut down business anytime we want to. It's just a matter of us organizing. And through social media these days, it doesn't take much effort to make that happen. This has been planned for a couple weeks now, and there's thousands of people out here. It's amazing.
We're trying to do something about a very abstract concept that is very difficult to put into words.
And I think that there's just a general, not so much a specific demand, but just a general idea of injustice and inequality that's underlying all this. And I think that that's really the most important thing, and the individual issues can flow from that, but that's the foundation.
Housing, healthcare, and education, you know, that's the main thing that everybody needs, you know. And the rest is just luxury. But, you know, with a good education, a good health system, and housing, which is pretty important as well, I think that we all can live happily, right?
Now, business by itself isn't necessarily bad. But when you have education and healthcare and human services run by businesses, not for people, but for profit, that's evil, okay? That's people's lives, okay? It's not some luxury that you're selling that you can make a little money off of.
The biggest thing I think the 1% is afraid of is actually having the 99% in power. So we can call off the police. We can stop the tuition hikes. We can keep the schools open and the libraries and the health and all, you know, healthcare, and stop the stupid polluters and not only tax, you know, and tax the rich. They used to be taxed. And they used to still get richer.
We gotta organize. Shut it down. Oakland is a union town. We gotta organize. Shut it down. Oakland is a union town. We gotta organize.
Well, this is thrilling. I mean, I wasn't sure this particular action was going to be as successful as November 2nd, but evidently it really is. We've succeeded in closing down the morning shift and now the evening shift here at the Port of Oakland, and there have been closures at other ports up and down the coast. Right now we're in a very dynamic moment. We're deciding whether to extend this tonight to the 3 a.m. shift in solidarity with other occupiers that have been experiencing tear gas and all kinds of police action. And I'll just mention, in fact, interestingly, my own daughter, my 21-year-old daughter, is up at Occupy Olympia, and she is right now at Occupy Seattle. So who knows what's happening to her. But I'm here in solidarity, and if they're doing stuff to kids in Seattle, I'm staying.
Oakland is a union town. We gotta organize. Shut it down. Oakland is a union town. We gotta organize. Shut it down. Oakland is a union town. We're gonna organize, shut it down. Oakland is a union town, that's right. See, the longshoremen, they got power because they fight. That's what we need to spread throughout the whole movement. Unite, Lego, black, and brown.
Well, I'm here today primarily because there have been calls to cut to stop the cuts, and now there's the call to tax the rich, and that's right up my alley. I ran as a Green Party candidate for governor, and we're not corporate funded, and I have on my bike here signs that say that California has 85 billionaires with a total of $287 billion. That's 10 times what the budget gap was, 10 times. You know, my biggest hope is that we do what's happened in Latin America, where they had people taking to the streets and banging on pots and pans, and an electoral movement. And young people started voting in Latin America. Now, people were really disillusioned there, and they're disillusioned here. But just, you know, follow the money and go in the other direction. The biggest thing I think the 1% is afraid of is actually having the 99% in power. So we can call off the police. We can stop the tuition hikes. We can keep the schools open and the libraries and the health and all, you know, healthcare, and stop the stupid polluters and not only tax, you know, and tax the rich. They used to be taxed, and they used to still get richer. But they want to win a game and be the richest person in the world or whatever. But what this movement wants is justice.
We're here just trying to shut down the port and like support the movement in the West Coast, in the whole West Coast, all together, organized. And I think this is awesome, man. More of a solution. I think it is a symbol that, you know, it's going to be, the media is going to show it all over the world, and it's going to get more people inspired, because this is not only, in my opinion, this is not only an American movement, it's a global movement, and people in South America, where I'm from, you know, they've been fighting for this, like this for decades, and I think it's awesome. This and I think it's pretty important that people here from America are starting to do and organize and do this kind of stuff, so they, you know, you can also inspire people around the world and, you know, let them know that this, you know, you guys are also doing your part here from the United States.
I am the 99%. All right, I work two jobs so that I can return to school. I work my butt off while, you know, out there you have the super rich, people making over $2 million, who can't even fork over just a little bit more so that we can have affordable education, so that I don't have to work two jobs and bust my butt every day so I can go back to school, so I can just, like, you know, have one job and go to school, you know, so it doesn't have to be ridiculous like that. But, you know, the way that our system's designed is they're making it harder and harder for you to do that. They're creating a super rich class, their 1%, and everyone else broke and working for them. And that's wrong.
I just got home from traveling abroad in Southeast Asia for 2 months. And I just got home about a week and a half ago, and I joined the movement because I was just reading about it abroad, so I didn't really have any access to help as far as just posting on Facebook and blogs, so I just joined about 2 weeks ago.
Erica, what brings you here today?
Well, the solidarity with other workers, with other labor. I'm a teacher, so I'm union as well, and just...
I'm here because there's so very much wrong with the country, and I think you, the young people, are the only hope for fixing it, and I'm not sure you can, but I'm really, really, really upset about the way things are not being done correctly like our founding fathers had in mind. Sorry.
I was here for the general strike as well, shut down the ports on November 2nd. I've been to a few general assemblies, including the one that voted for the original general strike. And I was there the night of the tear gassing and Scott Olson getting shot in the face by our peace officers.
And do you expect to see any of that sort of stuff going on tonight?
Well, we should hope not. There's definitely a large group of children here, including my own. However, we know that it's happened in the past, and you just gotta be ready. And, you know, for me, having kids, I gotta play it safe and stay back at the back part. But those people up there on the front lines, you know, it's anyone's guess, you know. But it sounds that everything went down pretty peacefully this morning.
Because I want my grandchildren to have air they can breathe and water they can drink and maybe even look at a tree or two.
I like the protests.
What do you like about the protests?
I like how we walk all the way to the park.
Yeah, you like the walk?
Yeah.
What do you think about all this? What do you think about all these people here? What do you think about the people here?
I don't have one.
All right. Well, that's our little introductory pieces to the port shutdown from last December 12th. And I believe I'm on the line with Jocelyn right now. Are you on the line with me?
Yeah, hi, Abacus. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Jocelyn?
I'm great. Well, I'm great, but sick. I'm happy to talk to you tonight.
Hi, Jocelyn. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Yeah, I'm here with Sluggo, too.
What's that?
I'm here with Sluggo, and I'm Abacus Finch, and we're talking to Jocelyn right now. You're an organizer with Occupy SF, right?
Yes, I am.
Can you give me some background on what you've been doing with San Francisco and what's going on these days in San Francisco?
Yeah, absolutely. First, I just want to say thank you so much, Abacus and Sluggo, for having us on at Occupy. So what I've been working on, I initially came in, I think it was the beginning of November, and quickly got excited about going to GAs and seeing what people were doing and seeing how they wanted to change things, because I've been wanting to change things for a while, too. I got involved in the gender issues work group because there are some issues with folks not feeling heard in the general assemblies and sort of the old, you know, white dudes being the ones who were talking the most and being heard the most, and some women feeling unheard, and people of color and trans people, you know, the usual people who are in the minority. So I wanted to work on that issue, and I've since moved over to working on the anti-oppression work group, which has a really exciting action plan for Friday, for J20. And in the anti-oppression work group, we look at how the system that we're in right now is not working, and how Occupy can... we can look at ourselves individually and as a movement and look to change things and do differently.
So what's going on this Friday then?
Well, we are, those of us in San Francisco, and I understand people are busing in from the peninsula and different parts of California to create Occupy Wall Street West. Apparently Montgomery Street is called Wall Street West in San Francisco. And so we're going there to occupy the banks, to protest. Citizens United, it is the first anniversary of Citizens United, of course, the Supreme Court case in which they decided that corporations are people and money is free speech. We don't agree with that, and we're looking to protest that and protest all the things that are coming out of that, foreclosures, predatory lending, predatory foreclosing, et cetera. And there's a lot of people doing a lot of different things that are going to be pointing up those issues.
So are there going to be some hot spots in the financial district where people are going to be convening? Or is it just kind of all over?
So there are meeting times at 6 a.m., 12 noon, and 5 p.m. at Justin Herman Plaza, which the movement has also renamed Bradley Manning Plaza. So it's at Justin Herman / Bradley Manning at 6 a.m., noon, and 5, you can show up, and anybody can show up and learn about the actions that are happening. I mean, really the goal here is to shut down the financial district, to make it impossible for business to be done, and make the 99%'s voices heard.
Your debt is the only thing that keeps you working and the only thing that keeps this going. As a matter of fact, if all the debt in the world was returned and paid off tomorrow, there'd be no way to pay off the interest. The whole system is designed to fall upon itself, and when it does, the people who run it right now will ask us to accept a new deal, if you're familiar with that term. The Federal Reserve was founded on that concept, and basically what it means under a lot of shrouded spin and text is the idea that we need to start from zero because we've depleted the money supply. We've duplicated it to a point where it's worth jack, and we just need to wipe it clean and start from zero. Ultimately, the people suffer from that, and the people who were in charge when it all went down, well, they know how to bring it back up again. Don't accept a new deal. That's all I got to say.
And it looks like we got somebody else on the line, too. Is this Diane or Stan?
Diane here from Occupy Oakland.
Diane, good to talk to you.
Hi.
So do you want to give some background, too, on what's been going on in Oakland and what your involvement has been?
Yeah, I chimed in the middle, and I take it Jocelyn was explaining how she got involved, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I think it might be a little bit similar from what I remember Jocelyn telling me on the phone today. I the truth is I was dreaming about wishing for a way to address the problem of what I call mega merger corporations and their complete control over our financial system, the media, the political system, the elections. I mean, in my lifetime, I've seen money have a greater and greater stranglehold on every aspect of our society. And it was becoming alarming, starting to feel almost like it's approaching, heading towards a kind of totalitarian situation. And I was just feeling a little bit almost hopeless, worrying about how are we going to address this, you know. And guess what? Some people sat down in Zuccotti Park in New York City and Occupy Wall Street. And I was like, I couldn't believe it. It was like just what I was thinking. We need a way to make a noise and to yell about this for starters. And then I went down to Occupy San Francisco over on that side of the bay, and I was bringing food and donations and things for a while and talking to people and wanting to get more involved. And I lived many, many years of my life in Berkeley. I don't live there right now, but in a neighboring county. But when I saw what happened on October 25th in Occupy Oakland, which was the day the police completely wiped out the camp of like 180 tents, and then that night when the protesters and the occupiers came back repeatedly over and over despite being tear gassed and hit with grenades and all this stuff, and I'm sure many people may know about this because it really hit the big media. I saw that. I was so outraged, and I stood up and went down there the very next day in person and said, sign me up, that I'm getting really involved. And I got more involved. And then I got onto the media committee and got involved right away with the huge general strike day, November 2nd, the following week, when we had like 30,000 to 40,000 people in the streets of Oakland in a peaceful, incredible march. And, you know, from there on, I've been pretty much putting almost all my free time and more into Occupy in various capacities. So I believe in the basic principles, the reasons that people occupy in the first place, the things I mentioned about the financial system and the 1% having control and dominating our every aspect of our culture. But I also have gotten more involved, and I think this has happened in Oakland. People know this. There's been so much police harassment and presence and unjust arrests that it's become also, in addition to the bigger issues, it's become what I would call a kind of a ground war. I mean, where people are really, really trying to deal with this police repression and lack of justice, which is, by the way, tied in with the bigger picture. I mean, big money backs politicians and cities and governments and police departments, and the police are out there trying to quash Occupy Wall Street all over the country because the powers that be are nervous. They don't like this, you know, and I think there's a direct connection. It's pretty obvious.
And so I've heard that there's been a lot of coordinating between different city governments and police across the country in trying to quash this movement. Has there been any coordinating between the different Occupy segments all around the country? Is it becoming a little bit more coordinated in a sense? Are there a lot of communication? I would imagine between San Francisco and Oakland, it's not hard to communicate, but like, what about between San Francisco and Washington, D.C.? Like, what kind of communication's going on a widespread basis like that? Now that I got both you guys on the line, you guys can both chime in.
You want to go ahead, Jocelyn? I was just talking. I'll take a turn if you'd like.
You there, Jocelyn?
Did we lose Jocelyn? Well, I can answer that.
I'm here. I'm here. Hello?
Hey, Jocelyn.
Hi. Sorry about that. I was on mute because I was having a coughing fit.
Okay.
Diane, I want to say how great it is to get to talk about this with you, and I was excited to hear more about your experience and your galvanizing moment. And as far as how the Occupies communicate, I can tell you right now that I know at least two people, I think even more, who are in D.C. right now at Occupy Congress and who went specifically for Occupy Congress. And there's a lot of co-support and a lot of solidarity. There's a lot of people coming from other Occupies to branch out and to hear about how each movement is dealing with their particular challenges and sharing and doing skill shares about what's working for them. For instance, in Denver, I met a couple of people on Sunday at the nonviolent direct action training and in preparation for Friday. And they had some really great things to share about their experiences with the police and how they've dealt with it and, what things that basically strategically, will help us if and when we start dealing with some of the issues that they have. Please don't ask me specifics because I'm not sure at this point. Those are the salient points. I wish I could be more specific.
I could add to that if you'd like.
Yeah.
Please do.
Yeah, I mean, different perspectives. Occupy is such a big movement. It's incredibly diverse, not just in terms of the demographic of the people in it, but the activities and the focuses, the things that people are interested in. Some people, I feel, are very, very locally focused, not just on issues of police, but housing and food for the community. And in Oakland, we have a big issue with the homeless wanting to improve their situation. There's a lot of community activism going on that may not be directly about the corporations, although the corporations and our whole money system is creating this problem of income inequality and the poor getting poorer. So it is connected. But we have people very focused on the local. Then we have some people who are very focused on the national and even the international. I happen to be involved right now. I've decided to make my main focus to be part of a team that's starting up something called OccupyRadio.fm, which is going to be a national online radio network for Occupy. And Occupy Austin, Austin, Texas, really started this. They're kind of the geniuses behind this. And right now we have six Occupies around the nation signed on to be affiliates to start this. We haven't launched it yet, but it will get going. And that's going to be where we're going to really connect and exchange. And we're already hooking up as a team and having national conference calls preparing to get this thing going. There's also something called InterOccupy, which is just what it sounds like. It's communication between various Occupies. They have, I think, a couple of weekly conference calls, national conference calls, and talk about all kinds of issues. I've been resisting doing that because I'm so busy with the radio project, but there's that. And like Jocelyn said, people visiting all the time. I mean, my daughter happens to be, she for a long time lived in, well, long time, couple months lived in Occupy Olympia, Washington. She's 21. Yeah. And we're like an Occupy family. And then the tents got taken down up there like here, but she's still involved and she's had people travel down here. She's been down here. And but there's a lot of, like you say, physical interaction. And I think that Occupy is on the cusp of, it's in the middle of a big change. People are still regrouping and recovering from the blow of having the physical encampments taken down in the large cities. But it's not gone at all. People are very active, some more motivated than ever. And I think a lot of creativity and ideas is popping up. Sometimes it's chaotic. Sometimes there's conflict. Sometimes it's wonderful. It's a big, huge organism, and it's finding its way right now, and I think that's fine.
I would add to that, Diane, your wonderful experiences and information about it. I would add to that you know, more and more people are having quote-unquote conversion experiences. And I think I was, when I was in Vermont visiting my mom and my stepdad, they hadn't seen a lot of the YouTube videos that were on there, like I'm Not Moving. I don't think they had seen, they had seen Bob Pike and the UC Davis protesters. And but that was, I mean, my stepdad, who is a World War II vet and a Korean War vet, came to me and said after he saw that and after we had conversations about it, I want to tell you that I feel guilty about not doing more for your generation. I don't know how we let this happen. And that kind of galvanizing and having that support from, you know, my octogenarian stepdad and my mom is pretty wonderful. It's, you know, I'm excited to hear that you and your daughter are doing this together, and that just tells me, you know, that this is something that so many different people from so many different places are interested in getting behind.
So you guys have both touched on a bit kind of the direction of where this movement's going. I know it's hard to say because there's no centralized leadership or anything. There's no roster of who's involved. Is there any idea of if it's growing or waning? How is the funding doing for all the different Occupy camps, and where do you think it's going to be going in the next month or two or three? Or,
you know, people have asked me that before in other situations and interviews, and honestly, what I say is it's almost the wrong question to ask, because I think this is a very organic, changeable, which is exciting, and it's happening as we speak, and people are learning and making it up as we go along, and it, with very serious intent. And, you know, it's real life. I mean, there's no script. We honestly can't, I wouldn't dare to predict exactly. I think possibly, these are some of my just personal thoughts, you know, Occupy may in some ways come together and be more cohesive. There may be some more national and international action. I think it may also splinter in some ways, which is not a bad thing. We may wind up with subgroups and organizations doing various activities related to social justice and Occupy. I don't know. I mean, I honestly, it's very exciting. You know, you think you've seen it all. You've been around the block a few times. I don't know. It's kind of like a take part, watch and see what happens, or better yet, take part and see what happens. You know, you bring your own creativity. I have a sense a lot of people in Occupy are not being told what to do or waiting to have someone tell them or lead them. They're popping up with ideas. I'll give you a little example. Over in Oakland, we have constantly, they're taking down our any structures. We have tables, even a food table or anything at our local, our center, even though we have no more tents. We had a teepee up there. They took down the teepee and arrested people. I mean, the police have been amazing. Well, some kids, young people, came up in Occupy with an idea. Without telling anybody, they announced one morning at like 5 a.m., we have launched the SS Don't Let the Banks Punk You Out. And they had created a raft, a boat, that could sleep six people with a wonderful canopy and all this. And they launched in the middle of Lake Merritt in Oakland, which is an urban lake. And it was out in the middle of the lake, and the police are standing on the shore sort of scratching their heads going, what do we do now? And the thing stayed out there for 5 days. People visited. It got in the news. It got attention. And, you know, they had a big banner up advertising the next big march we were having. And after 5 days, the police went out there, arrested them, hauled the thing in, you know, gave them a little citation that said boat on it. But, I mean, that's just an example. I mean, people are coming up with things you'd never dream of, you know.
Yeah. It really is wonderful, the creativity that I'm seeing and that I'm getting to be a part of and I'm getting to witness. I mean, when we came up with what our action is for the anti-oppression work group, which is, I think we changed it to who are the 99% race, class, and gender, or uniting the 99% race, class, and gender. And what we're going to do is we're going to have basically a demographic chart where people can take a push pin and a card and a piece of string and take the push pin and put it in their appropriate demographic area based on race, class, and gender, and then a note about who they are. And we're expecting that the middle part is going to be filled out, because the 1% probably won't want to be around, and the folks on the bottom level are the ones who are working 3 and 4 jobs, so they're not going to have time. But that's another aspect of that kind of creativity. And as far as whether or not the movement is waning or gaining, I would say it's gaining. I mean, every time we do an action, more and more people are interested, and we get more and more coverage. And this is a real thing. This isn't something. This Occupy is not a movement that A is going away, and B isn't really timely. And one of the things that I find absolutely so exciting is the fact that Occupy is all over the world. It's not just in the U.S. It's all over the world. And that, to me, says that there's something really important happening here. And I think, I mean, you know, what I've seen, what I've experienced is more and more people wanting to know more, some not understanding how they can be involved, and others not necessarily wanting to be involved, but definitely being supporters. And for those who do want to be involved and who don't know how, if you go to OccupySF.org, there's a calendar, and that calendar tells you what work groups are meeting at what time every day. And depending on what you're interested in, go meet up with that work group. Go find out what, the anti-oppression work group is, or the direct action work group, or, any number of them. The gardening work group, that's a fantastic group, all about, you know, eco-responsibility and responsible gardening, and and they've done phenomenal actions, and they have a fantastic action plan for the 20th as well.
So, speaking of involvement, I believe we have Stan on the line. Are you there, Stan? Hey, Stan, you there? Oh,
Stan must have left.
Looks like we lost Stan. Well, also speaking of the splintering off in the kind of different groups that have been getting involved, and the different sort of movements going on, coming from the centralized Occupy. What I was talking to you earlier, Diane, about these anti-repression marches, and there's kind of these other little pieces sprouting up. Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah, we have right now an Occupy Oakland.
Hello?
Really, really understand.
Hey, Stan.
Is that Stan?
Oh, apparently I hear someone. I was on about 15 minutes before.
Okay. Sounds like we've got Stan on the line as well.
Sorry to cut you off, Diane. I wanted to hear from Stan about labor's involvement with the whole Occupy movement, specifically in regards to the port shutdowns. Were you involved with the November 2nd shutdown as well as the December one?
Yes. Yes, Stan Woods from Occupy Oakland Labor Committee. Yeah, I was involved both in November 2nd and December 12th. Before we get into that, though, I just want to announce something very important, and that is, yes, there's important day of actions against the banks in San Francisco this Friday the 20th. However, Occupy Oakland Labor Committee is building a major caravan going from the Bay Area to Longview, Washington sometime in the next 2 or 3 weeks, exactly when it's uncertain, to help block a ship loading scab cargo. It's part of an effort by an international conglomerate called EGT to break International Longshore and Warehouse Union Local 21 in Longview. And we hope to get 300 to 500 people from the Bay Area and to join hopefully thousands from Fort Glenn and Seattle and elsewhere in the Northwest. And that's something that's a major project for us, along with, of course, on the 28th, Occupy Oakland is hoping to occupy a vacant building. But the labor component of Occupy Oakland has been working on is this caravan to Longview, Washington. So I just want to throw that out there before we get into this past fall.
Yeah, definitely. It's good to know. I didn't know about that.
If people are interested in being part of the caravan, we're fundraising now and so on, go to www.occupyoakland.org.
Okay. And so I'm interested to hear what the general response was from labor, both truckers and longshoremen, in response to these port shutdowns that happened. I have some interviews from truckers that we can play in a sec if you guys want to hear them, but I want to hear what you have to say about all this.
Well, one of the unions that worked with us closely, both on the November 2nd and on December 12th, was the Teamsters Local 70. Teamsters Local 70 is a big local in the Bay Area, historic local, been around since 1903, and they have a fair number of truckers working in the port. Also, they've been involved in a several-year organizing drive of port truckers. and they facilitated, for example, a teach-in, combination meet and greet between Occupy Oakland and other unions and Port Truckers Association, who are barred by reactionary legislation from officially being part of a union. They're falsely considered independent operators, which means they have the responsibilities of small business without the perks of small business. They have to pay for their own fuel, et cetera, but they don't, 90% of the time, they don't own their own trucks, their own rigs. And there was an open letter put out after December 12th by some prominent port truckers completely supporting the action on December 12th. And so that's counter to a lot of the media propaganda.
Yep, I do. Yeah, I had talked to some guys that were not so happy about it, but they said the same sorts of things that they obviously were being exploited as well. If you guys want, we could hear from some of the truckers right now.
I'd love to hear what they had to say.
All right. We're going to throw on some stuff from the truckers.
There's more than just truckers on here, so we'll hear a variety of different voices and then a couple truckers at the end here.
And it looks like we lost Stan again, but let's hear from some opposition to this whole thing. You guys are listening to Inside Occupy on KFJC 89.7.
You know, and the fact is that, like, right now the police are being peaceful here because of how many people we have. But if they get the opportunity to, they will crack down on us. Because they're not our public defenders anymore. They're defenders of property. They're defenders of the rich. And the fact is that, like, you know, I'm wearing a mask. I'm not wearing a mask because I'm trying to do bad stuff and I'm trying to cause damage, to property damage. I'm wearing a mask because they have military helicopters flying overhead right now, taking photos of everyone. Okay, is that a free society where they're literally filming you every single minute of the day when you speak out? That's scary. It's like, oh, he speaks out. He has a mind of his own. Film him. Track him. Record him. That's what they're doing to people. And when you get the word out, the pig is not your friend.
I'd like to speak about the people talking about violence and property destruction. I think those are two terms that you can't just mix up. The Black Bloc that went and did this, they were completely peaceful, and they had people trying to jump on them and stop them coercively, and they didn't even really hit back. You know what I mean? They just got away from those people. What happened was you just have a lot of people out in the streets who have never done it before, and that was kind of a tense moment for them. When those windows dropped, they just felt like things might go a little crazy for a few moments, and they got scared. But as this has progressed, you see that people are starting to understand that, wait a minute, breaking those windows isn't exactly an act of violence. They're not hurting anybody, and they won't hurt anybody, even people who are trying to use violence to stop them from committing property destruction.
Next to the sound truck.
We don't know.
Blocking off some street, making sure that these longshoremen's going home to their families.
We're blocking APL. We're at berth 60 through 63.
Right here, we just kicking it, watching the surroundings, doing security, making sure these police stand in line, making sure everybody having a good time. Alcohol free.
Solidarity with the anarchists.
Yeah, solidarity with anarchy, you know, to the fullest. Tactical Action Committee.
We stand in full solidarity with anarchy.
We know y'all been fighting this fight before we even started. Now people don't even understand.
Dissipated here.
that this is not really hurting the so-called 1%. And my suggestion to Occupy would be two things. One, you go to all the Federal Reserve branches in the country, and you also go to all the Congress people's homes, and you do a 24/7, 365 march around their homes and at the Federal Reserve Bank. And you say, we want honest money, not debt money. If Occupy's ever going to do anything, it's going to go to these power centers at their houses, the people who actually have the power, and say, you support us with your mouth, now do it with your actions. And that's where you're going to learn. Is Nancy really your friend?
Guys that are trying to make a living driving truck and then the longshoremen inside the port. That's all it affects, because the people that own the port and they own the shipping companies and they own the ships, this isn't going to affect them or their bottom line, because the cargo that I have is going to get to Tokyo regardless, and they're going to make their buck as soon as that hits the ground over there. You know, the guys that put this together know that, and all this is a political statement for their, so they can flex their muscle. And everybody else here that thinks this is some big movement, they're a bunch of useful idiots.
Show up, it's gonna hit the fan. Let's watch, huh?
Yeah, we'll see what happens. So this is just kind of ruining your guys' night. You guys are trying to make your deliveries and go home.
It's not. I've made my delivery. I'm just trying to get an empty can so I can go get another load and head back to the Midwest. That's what I do for a living.
Yep.
And this isn't the first time this has happened to me. I don't know what the reason is that this is focused toward the ports. That makes no sense to me. You know, go to the corporate offices. If you're down on Wall Street or you're anti-corporation, whatever, you're not hurting those people a bit. I like when young people are idealistic. I have a 19-year-old daughter that thinks you guys or these guys are the she just thinks this is the most wonderful thing ever. I hate to tell her first, hey, honey, it's going to be at least 2 weeks before I can get your telephone turned back on again because I can't pay the bill. I get paid by the mile. You know how many miles I've gone today? I don't know. How many miles is it from here to Port of America? A mile? Mile and a half?
Yeah.
I still have to pay insurance, maintenance, license, all that. It's a lost day of earnings for me. Tomorrow is a half day gone. Maybe more, because who knows what will happen tomorrow. I just did this a few weeks ago when the port said, oh my God, you guys are bringing in refrigerator containers that could explode. I'm sleeping 5 feet from the damn thing. If it's a danger to longshoremen, why isn't it a danger to me? Oh, because I'm an independent. And, you know, these people keep walking up here, and they are so arrogant. And I had this one woman come up here tonight. She says, I know this is hurting you, and I'm so sorry. I went to the bank today and drew out my own money, and I would like to buy your dinner. And she's trying to hand me, like, $3. I went, oh, bless you, bless you. I'm not worthy. How How big an insult do you think that is to me? I'm a 53-year-old man. I've been making my way my whole life. And I can't get in the damn gate and get an empty can. That's just mind-boggling to me. You know, like I say, I'm from the Midwest, so a lot of this kind of thinking is a little beyond me. You know, I'm kind of basics kind of guy.
All right, we just heard from a whole bunch of folks on a few different issues. Are you there, Diane and Jocelyn?
Yes.
Awesome. All right, so we heard some stuff. We heard from the truckers. We heard from a guy named Don about dissipating the energy. We also heard some stuff about police repression and the role of violence in the movement. Do you guys want to touch on any of those topics?
Sure, I always have things to say.
You want to go first? What's that, Diane?
Pardon me, you want to go first, Jocelyn?
Sure. One of the reasons that I came into this movement is because there has been a focus on nonviolence, and I am here to shore up that focus and to help people with tools to avoid violence. And unfortunately, that's a tough thing to do. And the reason is that our current system, the one that's not working for us, is a system of authoritarianism. It's a system of competition. It's a system of one-upmanship. And that's a system where you have unilateral communication. So think of unilateral communication as the same thing as the trickle-down theory. And you've got a lot of people that are getting trickled on by having to hear a lot of rhetoric from corporations, from, Speaker Boehner and, all kinds of different folks about what's right for them and what's right for the country. And what I get concerned about with that system is that it doesn't take into account the need for bilateral communication, the need for a dialogue. And when there isn't a dialogue, agreements can't be reached. And agreements are the currency of cooperative relationships. When there aren't cooperative relationships, what happens? Violence and oppression. And that's what I'm seeing now. I'm seeing violence and oppression. And that is in stark relief in Oakland, as Diane said. I mean, the amount of violence that's been happening there, and seeing Scott Olson and seeing how he was attacked, and then seeing how he's been recovering, and everyone else there who's been violated by the police. And here in San Francisco, there was a protest on Saturday, and a woman who participated in the protest playing a drum was walking to her car after the protest with her two children and was promptly arrested for having assaulted an officer with her drumstick. Well, this is a completely trumped-up charge, according to her, and people who were there say they never saw anything like that. To do that in front of her children and to take her away in front of her children, that is a traumatizing experience for them. So all these tactics are old-fashioned tactics that rely on people saying, okay, I guess it's not that bad about violence. And it is that bad, because what's happening is violence is all over our economic system. It's oppression is one of the main forms of oppression in our capitalist society is economic oppression, and that's what's going on here, 20 years ago, I was working as an administrative assistant in New York City in publishing, and I would be making less an hour now for the same job with more stress and more duties if I were to do that work here today. I mean, that, again, that's a real easy blank form of, or not blank, but a real easy stark form of violation to me. And in the meantime, CEOs are making 350 times what they did back then. If the minimum wage had stayed, had kept rising with the CEOs at the same level of CEOs' salaries, we would now be making $23 an hour, minimum wage. That's totally livable in San Francisco. Nobody makes that for minimum wage. So that's one area of the violence that, you know, that I think about a lot and that I'm very concerned with and that I want to work to change.
Diane, do you want to add to that?
Yeah, I wanted to mention about what's, you know, because some of this gets into the media too. In Occupy Oakland, there has been a big focus on, I mean, I want to say I'm actually one of those balanced people who tries to get facts and be scientific about what's really going on. I actually don't assume a party line. I'm not conservative, but I'm just cautious. And I am feeling more and more radicalized about what's going on with the police and what they're doing. I've observed firsthand and know people firsthand and have seen it on video. I've seen them just totally arresting people for no good reason, chasing down people who are walking and doing nothing. And, you know, don't have to tell all the stories. But so there's a lot of focus on this issue. And we have had a couple of marches in a row this past weekend and the one before, anti-repression marches. And I can't say the word on the air, but there's a word that begins with an F. And the title of the marches is F the Police, believe it or not. Now, you know, so what's happened is we've been having a big raging debate, which is good and healthy, inside Occupy Oakland about violence versus nonviolence, aggression versus non-aggression, and what methods work. And it's been kind of healthy. And some people are in favor of being very aggressive in response to aggression from police, and other people are very much talking about peace and the Martin Luther King Gandhi approach. And I lean towards very much towards nonviolence myself. But what I want to say is that I've been somewhat radicalized and become more shocked, and I've become a believer that it really is happening. There is widespread repression backed by money and power, and it's showing up right on our streets with what's going on with the police and how they're handling occupiers and other. And it's I mean, I'm not young, and it's really changed my attitude looking at what's going on. So I think there is definitely a need for a nonviolent approach. And I think my observation, and I haven't done a survey, but my observation is that a majority of occupiers are in favor of civil disobedience and nonviolence. I'm all in favor of breaking the law. If you can make a point and accomplish something and make a statement and get attention, media attention, and raise consciousness, that's okay with me. Even getting arrested is okay. I'm just not in favor of breaking stuff and hurting people. That's my opinion. So we've got a lot of dialogue going on about this right now, which is fine. That's another aspect of the movement. What's going on is being talked
about. Hello?
Hello, Stan, you there?
Right. Yeah, I'm sorry. I keep on getting cut off. But part of it was I was on BART. Is your program still going on?
Yeah, we're still on the air.
We're all here. You're on the air.
Okay.
Did you get to get a chance to hear some of that stuff from some of the voices that we heard from the port shutdown?
Just a little bit. You mean from the port truckers?
Yeah, so we heard some stuff from people talking about police repression. That's what we're talking about right now, and we're talking about the role of violence and nonviolence in the movement. And then we also heard from the truckers and another couple of people that were opposed to that whole port shutdown. If you want to touch on any of that, would love to.
Sure. Well, where to begin? Regarding the we'll take the River Second, for example. It wasn't literally a general strike in the sense of multiple unions shutting down businesses throughout the city. But it was the closest thing to it since 1946, the last time there was a general strike in this country, which was in Oakland. I mean, thousands and thousands of workers didn't work that day. The march to the port was far bigger than the corporate media, and unfortunately even bigger than what some progressive media says. I think it was anywhere from 20 to 30,000. Not to mention... excuse me, I'm walking up some steps. Not to mention thousands that were there in demonstrations earlier in the day. Longshore Local 10, IOW Local 10, as expected, honored the mass picket lines. Of course, there wasn't really much doubt.
And then on, hold on just a second.
Well, Stan's pausing. I want to ask if in the last few
minutes... Now, on December 12th, there was a lot of propaganda, primarily coming from...
Did we lose Stan again? Oh, there you go.
December 12th, there was a lot of propaganda, a lot of agitation against the port, West Coast port shutdown. Which is on behalf of the port truckers, solidarity of the port truckers, and ILWU Local 21 in Longview, Washington. But despite that, we had thousands, probably at least 5,000-6,000 in the evening, maybe 2,000, 1,500, 2,000 in the morning, did shut down the port, all ships. Teamsters Local 70, they have a few dozen members there, refused to even work that day. By 10 a.m. that morning, Longshore Local 10, using the health and safety exemption of their contract, just refused to work, and they went home. It was very successful. And then the evening march, we had about 5,000. We had hundreds and hundreds of trade unions from different unions. And there was a lot of attempts, mainly by Gene Kwan and her administration in Oakland, to keep it from happening. Unfortunately, even the international leadership of ILWU distorted what was going on and tried to stop it. But Longshore Local 10 has a long tradition of honoring what's called community picket lines. The first time they did it was in 1937 when the Japanese Empire invaded Manchuria and Chinese students in the Bay Area picketed the docks, picketed the voting and exporting of iron ore to the Japanese military. And the docks were shut down tight, and no iron ore was exported to Japan. And starting in 1985, during the Apartheid era, there was community pickets trying to keep cargo going to South Africa. And that's continued throughout the years. So there's been a long tradition of labor solidarity and of honoring even groups that aren't specifically in the labor movement but are very progressive groups with goals and ideals similar to ILWU. And that's what happened again on November 2nd. And December 12th.
Could I ask something? We're about out of time, aren't we, Abacus? And I wondered if we could get a moment each of us to give contact information if people are interested in getting more involved.
Absolutely, yeah, definitely.
If you'd like to know more about our upcoming plans, our mass caravan to Longview, Washington, in solidarity with Local 21, which is under intense attack. They got 234 members, and they've had over 220 arrests, for example. Go to OccupyEGT.org or OccupyOakland.org and follow the links. And if you want to contact me personally, you can contact me at swoods510@aol.com.
Okay, and I'll give a quick thing for us, Oakland. As Stan already mentioned, our main website is OccupyOakland.org. We also have a great media website with video, photos, et cetera, more information. And can I say the word H-E-L-L on the radio?
Yeah, that's okay.
The name of that website is HellaOccupyOakland.org, all one word, HellaOccupyOakland.org. That's that. And we have a great event coming up. It's on the... 28th and 29th, we're having a big sort of cultural party event and march and rally right in Oakland, downtown Oakland, in front of City Hall, where we always meet. You can find out more information about that. That's the big thing coming up. There's other events, so go to the website.
Cool. What about you, Jocelyn? Did you want to throw something in there?
Absolutely. I want to encourage everybody, all your listeners, to come out to, if any of this has resonated with your listeners, I want to invite everybody to come to the Financial District on Friday, January 20th, at 6 a.m., noon, and 5 p.m., and come to Justin Herman / Bradley Manning Plaza and find out what's going on and get involved. This is all about you. This is about the 99%, the sleeping giant waking up and doing together what we can't do individually. And the more people that become involved, the more talents we have, the stronger we're going to become. And I'm excited to
to be a part of this, and I'm so excited to have gotten to hear from Stan and Diane. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you all of you for calling in and helping us out and dropping some words for everybody.
And sorry about all the fits and starts of my interview. I was I thought we were going to be driving over to a meeting in San Francisco. We're at another meeting now, an IOW meeting concerning Longview, but we took BART.
Oh, it's okay.
So I was painting from one strap as I was holding the phone and talking to you guys, going through the tunnel, et cetera, et cetera. So anyway.
Well, hey, if you guys want to stay on the line for a few minutes longer, we could just play one more piece here and then get some closing statements from all of you in about 6 minutes if you guys want to stick around for a few more minutes.
Sure. Oh, sure. I didn't know you could go past the hour. Okay.
Yeah, we'll just go a few minutes past. But let's play a couple pieces here, and we will hear back from Jocelyn and Diane and Stan in a few minutes. And I should say, first of all, that broadcasting from Foothill College, this is KFJC Los Altos Hills.
We stand for systemic change. We have a fundamentally flawed political and economic system right now, and we're here both to tear down the existing structures and propose new alternatives that are more resilient for the community and the people. I think it's important that as we're trying to create political change, that it's not always heavy, that it's also fun. So we're here not only to create an atmosphere of fun and exuberance, but also to create a forum for people to bring their own messages to the table and to propagate positive change.
This is a dynamic, growing, right-in-the-moment movement, and nobody can predict what's going to happen. But I'm speaking as an individual, by the way. I do not represent anybody. I don't represent Occupy Oakland. I'm just a member. But my opinion is, and I've seen a lot of demonstrations. I'm older, as you might put it. I've been around for a while. And this is really dynamic. It's very inclusive. People across the country, I think, are fired up, even if they're not down here demonstrating. I know it's true. And I think the Occupy movement is going to take all kinds of shapes and forms. It may or may not be tense anymore, but it's not going away at all. And people are doing all kinds of creative individual actions. I think parts of Occupy are probably going to unify and come together. This is living real life in the moment. This is where we shall see what happens, but there's a lot of energy and motivation happening.
Well, it's the Occupy Oakland Free Library, and I've got my bike here fitted out with a bunch of books and free magazines, and we're using it to spread knowledge throughout Occupy Oakland. It's all free. You can take books, and there's a sticker on there showing you how to bring them back so we can keep circulating the books throughout and have a nice network of free libraries throughout the city.
What kind of stuff do you have in here?
Well, we have some really good newspapers that have just come up, the Occupy Oakland Tribune. I've got a bunch of Slingshots here, which is a great magazine with a full Occupy issue. Really good stuff. I've got a bunch of books, some critical theory, some good old literature. And, anything you want, any ideas you have, you can share with all the rest of the Occupiers out here. And share your ideas and help us build this new community.
If you were able to look at everything, it's just groups of people with various skills and various interests and reasons for being here. So for myself, I'm first aid certified and CPR certified, so I'm here just to provide any help in case there are any terrible interactions go down with cops. So I've been here for a couple of the raids that have happened in the past. The most recent one, there weren't any injuries, but you never know. So I'm just here to help provide a service for the fellow occupiers and people who are in support and solidarity for this shutdown. There's a lot of medics. A lot of them are volunteer-based. But the medics have organized, and we do medic training classes for anyone that's interested. So, yeah, most of the time you can find us because we're labeled with a red cross on our back.
This is love in your hometown. Say transformation. Come on, transformation.
So I'm planning on projecting tents in San Francisco and maybe in Oakland on buildings with a projector and a generator.
I'm doing live stream segments. I don't have enough battery time to stream the entire thing, but I'm trying to get some juicy bits and save up for a big battery because I want to be Oak for Show when I grow up.
Oh, yeah. We hear a lot about Oak for Show.
He's a local hero here. But yeah, it's live streaming is frighteningly easy once you just download the app to your phone, play around with it for 10 minutes and figure out how much data plan you can afford.
So what do you think the impact of that can be in the long run with this whole this movement in particular and other movements in general?
The more, you know, Pepper Spray Pike had God knows how many camera angles on him when he, you know, hosed down the students at UC Davis. Johannes Meserle had God knows how many cell phones, you know, taping his stuff. The more images, the more angles we can capture on what this movement is doing and what we're actually about, the more we can keep an eye on instances of police over-enthusiasm. The things that cops have been used to doing in terms of brutalizing people just routinely, the more we can record, the more we can capture, the more we can hold a mirror up to their behavior and get the police force we want and deserve, not, you know, rather thuggery.
We could just start with end corporate personhood and turn the Citizens United decision.
Campaign,
you know,
finance reform.
Campaign finance reform. There are definitely people here who want to, like, overturn the two-party system and, like, you know, do all these things and, like, start a socialist revolution or whatever. But honestly, to me, like, I've wrapped it up in 4 points of things that we need to do right now that we definitely tangibly can do that will dramatically change our generation to come. Number one is to not have the school system based on property taxes because that reinforces inequality so bad. It's not a joke. That's ridiculous that it's lasted. Number two, that our government doesn't profit when we're sick because as it is right now, our regulatory organizations are headed by people who get paid by the big farm and big food and big oil to not regulate, and that's hurting the population. And then number three, campaign finance reform, obviously, and making sure that corporations don't have anything to do with the electoral process. And number four, making meaningful employment so that we have small business and people are invested in the projects that they're working for and paid properly and a part of an actual artisanship or concept that they're invested in. It's meaningful. And I think that those four things will pay for themselves in the long run tenfold.
I am from the Bay Area, and I am a worker just like you, and I am calling for the people to band together to form a people's militia. That's right. We need to do away with the idea of a professional police force controlling us, dominating us, and we being the sheep. We need to take up arms and take up protection for ourselves.
Well, so we shut down the morning and the evening shift at the Port of Oakland, and in organizing this West Coast port blockade, we said that if there was any police repression of any of the attempts to blockade ports on the West Coast, that we would extend the blockade. And so people were really badly beaten in Seattle and arrested in Long Beach and in San Diego and
Houston.
And Houston as well. And so we decided in solidarity with those people that we were going to extend the blockade at least for the 3 a.m. shift.
And so are there people starting to show up for that 3 a.m. shift then?
Yeah, it looks like workers are starting to show up and try to get into the dock, and we have a pickup, and we're preventing them from crossing the picket line. I think most of them are pretty supportive, and they tend to look on these community picket lines as you know, something that they don't cross. They have a tradition of not crossing community pickets. So far, most of the ILWU workers have been pretty supportive.
So how many locations is everybody set up at now?
Apparently there are only two different terminals where active work is going on right now, where there are ships. So we are just at those two terminals. We're here at the Matson terminal, and then we're also at the APL terminal.
And what are the numbers, you think, at this hour? What is it, like 1:30 in the morning now?
I think we're looking at maybe around 100 people here. Hopefully we'll get, you know, double or triple that number as the morning wears on.
What comes from this specifically and directly is that if they shut a port down, it costs people who run the port, which is part of the 1%, a lot of money. These ships, it costs them over $200,000 an hour for every hour these ships are in port. If they can't load or unload their ship, the ship has to sit there for a shift, which is, say, 8 hours, that's close to $2 million it just cost them. So that's what comes from it directly. Hopefully what comes from it indirectly is either more of this until we get some major change, or people run things realize, okay, we can't treat everybody else on the planet this unfairly because they won't stand for it, so we have to back off a little bit. But, you know, it's got to go one way or the other if you want to get any change. Either we have to keep doing this and do more and more of it, or the 1% backs down eventually.
All right, there's some closing little pieces from folks at the port shutdown. Are we still on the air with Diane and Jocelyn and Stan?
Stan yeah. Woods is still here.
I'm here.
Your guys are all here. Cool. Do you guys have any last things you want to say? Any closing statements?
Diane?
Sure. Yeah. Well, number one, I just want to mention that I'm not a representative of Occupy Oakland or a spokesperson, because we don't have any. I'm a member of Occupy Oakland, and that's how we always present ourselves when we speak. And I just want to really, like Jocelyn was starting to say, invite you, if you're listening, to get involved. And you can get involved at home, online, or come down in person to one of our Occupies. Occupy Oakland still has a presence right in front of City Hall at what we call Oscar Grant Plaza. It used to be called Frank Agaba Plaza. We call it Oscar Grant Plaza. And you can, of course, get on the website, and there's ways to contact us and our various committees. We have all kinds of, there are many ways to be involved. There's some size that will fit you. You can find something to do that's comfortable, that's interesting, and you can contribute to changing the world. And it needs changing right now. It really does. And my prescription for 2012, I have my personal prescription for Occupy, which is, number one, we should do more education of the 99% and the masses about what's really going on, the economy, all these things, clarify some of these issues. Number two, I believe we should head slowly towards a boycott, a lot of boycotting of the 1% businesses, big time, because these things have been done historically. Number three, I think we should be acting, continuing to do actions in creative, positive, attention-grabbing ways, keeping the eye on what's going on and not letting these issues die or fritter away or be suppressed by the mainstream media.
And Jocelyn or Stan?
Okay, this is Stan. Stan Woods. A couple of things. I mentioned, of course, about the Longview Caravan. What I shouldn't mention is, and all the historical things that have happened, the positive historical things, November 2nd, December 12th, hopefully the caravan to Longview. A very negative historical thing is that the Coast Guard, the U.S. Coast Guard, has announced it's going to be having armed cutters escorting the ship that's going to be picking up scab cargo in Longview, Washington. This is the first time there's been U.S. military intervention, and the Coast Guard is a part of the military. They have like a dual police-military duties. This is the first time since 1971, when Richard Nixon brought out troops to try to break the postal worker strike, that the U.S. military has been used against labor. And to protest that, in Oakland this Monday, we're gathering in front of the Oakland Federal Building at 1:30 to try to have a mass rally demanding that the Coast Guard back off and that the Obama administration not allow the Coast Guard being used against the labor movement. And so I urge anybody who possibly can come out this 1:30, the 23rd, in Oakland in front of the Oakland Federal Building to please do so. One last thing. It's going to be a very interesting year for Occupy. I'm talking about in the broader sense. there's going to be a lot of questions, a lot of debates. It's not certainly not going to be over relatively minor ones, in my view, about violence versus nonviolence. But the political direction, there's going to be tremendous pressure from what I consider to be, this is my own personal opinion, the right wing of the movement to turn Occupy movement into a get-out-the-vote operation for the Democratic Party. In Oakland, there's been very little debate about that because people are overwhelmingly against that idea. I think there's been a bit more debate about that in San Francisco, and I know in New York and D.C. and elsewhere it's been a big issue. And I would, one thing I think is crucial for this movement to survive as a radical economic justice movement is to keep our independence from either, of course, from the Republicans, but also from the Democratic Party. And I, people can vote however they want to vote, but I certainly hope that the movement as a whole will not be co-opted into that. And that's an issue that's going to become more and more acute as the months go on. But I still think our future looks very bright, and but part of a progressive movement is you're going to have internal struggles and debates about the direction, and I think Occupy is going to have those in really intense levels.
Yeah, I can see that happening. Jocelyn, did you have anything you wanted to add?
Yeah, sure. Well, I want to say ditto to what Diane and Stan have both said about getting involved and also about, you know, just where things are headed with, where we're headed with the movement. Two things that, one thing that Diane said about the police brutality radicalizing her, I have to say that for me that's also been the case. And I know that most people are not going to be okay with what is going on in the Occupy movement as far as our rights to free speech being quashed by the police over and over and over again, and their extremely, frankly, irrational behavior and responses to, or reactions really, they're not responses, they're reactions to occupiers and to what we're doing. So that's one thing. And the other thing is, again, just to, you know, everyone who wants to get involved or who's thinking about getting involved, your skill set is going to be of use somewhere in the Occupy movement. Even if you don't think so, it will be. And that's one of the things that's exciting about it. I want to reiterate what Diane said. I'm not an Occupy spokesperson. Occupy doesn't have any spokespeople. I'm someone who's volunteered, and I'm someone who cares, and I'm someone who's putting her time and energy into this movement, which is one of the most important things in my life today. And I want more and more people who identify with this and who have affinity for this movement to come and join us, because it's all about us together being able to do something to make some changes. And the educational piece that Diane was talking about is so important. And I also am excited to hear Stan say that it's the importance of keeping Occupy away from being part of a political party. That's really important to me, because those things are not working, and that's why we've been out in the streets, because it's time to be out in the streets. The time for voting has passed. The time for writing to the Congress people, you know, we can still do that, and that's still important. But now's the time for the bullhorn and the feet on the ground and people who are willing to make sacrifices in order to do this work. And I hope whoever wants to join us will join us.
And what baffles me, I'm just running off the mouth now, but what baffles me is our politicians look at what's going on in the Middle East and they go, had it coming. Never for a minute do they think it could happen here. They just don't think that could possibly happen here. And my question is, why not?
Opinions expressed on KFJC are not necessarily those of its staff or management. Responsible parties with opposing views may be given time to air those views. For more information, write to the Public Affairs Director at KFJC, 12345 El Monte Road, Los Altos Hills, California, 94022.